I'm back. Welcome to the 21cc podcast, brought to you by the Chartered Institute of Building. I'm Rod Sweet, editor of Global Construction Review. What you can hear is the factory in Peterborough of Dragonheart Homes, a CIOB company that makes net zero modular units for public sector housing. The company's been on a mission to improve people's lives since its founding 4 years ago, and it's developed a unique specialism. For the last 3 years, it's employed prisoners from HMP North Sea Camp, a Category D open men's prison outside Boston in Lincolnshire. So far, 41 inmates have come to work at Dragonheart. They get training and NVQs and construction skills with CSCS cards. It means they can quickly start building their lives when they get out. Some are still working at Dragonheart. Some have found work at other home building companies. Most are still employed. Almost none have reoffended. Dragonheart is the largest employer in a government scheme called Prisoners Building Homes, which unlocks public land for modular housing schemes and helps prisoners get work with the builders. We're going to sit down with two men who got jobs here while in prison. Just so you know, I asked them what they'd been sentenced for, but we agreed to leave it out, because they're looking towards the future now. First, we'll meet Pete. He's from California and spent much of his adult life in prison. He started working here while at North Sea Camp and was glad to come back after his release.
I worked here for about 1 year. My parole came up. I got my parole. I had to stay in London for about 2.5 months. But the whole 2.5 months I was liaising with Dragonheart, they were liaising with me. They were contacting me constantly. You're coming back to work. We want you back here at work. And one of my bosses, his name is Frank, said, London's a distraction for you. I want you to come back up here as soon as possible. And I took their advice. And I came up here. I had to take a few days off, but they wanted me here immediately because they don't want me, you know, to become an idle mind where the devil's workshop sets in. They wanted you back at work to make sure that you're going to change your life. And as soon as I came back, you're right back at home. All the guys are here. You get along with them. They're great guys at work here. There's about maybe 7 or 8 prisoners here. 3 prisoners, including myself, that have been in prison and have stayed here after. It is probably the most sought-after job in the prison is to work at this company. And the whole ethos on helping people when they get out of prison, which is the biggest stumbling block for people to get out of prison, is finding a job. You get set back into your old ways. You want quick money. Luckily, I'm computer literate. I'm a graphic designer by trade. But you go on Indeed, and there's a lot of competition for jobs. Your CV has to be doctored for them, I believe, to even see it. So a lot of people come out of prison, they're not used to being on computers or using this way of finding a job. The day of the interview is over with. So it used to be my personality would shine, I'd get the job. It's not like that anymore. I never knew how to use a drill before. They trained me to where I'm using every power tool in the place. And it was a big deal because my daughters and my ex-wife and my friends laugh at me because they're like, you getting dirty? As you can see now, I've been working all day. It's a great offer, you know, and it's changed my life. And I can never thank Jason, Frank, and Emma, the 3 people that spearhead all of this, for giving me this opportunity. And it's amazing. I mean, they've just offered to help me pay my down payment for my flat, furnish it. You'll pay us back. We'll work out a payment scheme. Those things are just unheard of in any employment, let alone somebody coming out of prison.
Has doing this job sort of changed your outlook on life?
Yeah, you just feel you have self-respect again. You know, you're working for money that's clean and legal. My daughters are back in my life, my granddaughters, my son-in-laws. They're all supportive. They can't wait to hear this podcast. So it's what you can do for your family legally. I give them my debit card, buy what you need, buy what you want for the kids. And they don't need it, but they do it because they know it makes me feel good.
What's your advice to prisoners who have a chance to get into work like this?
Procrastination would be, and complacency is your first enemy. You'll get out and you'll be around friends, and some of them are working, some of them aren't. Some of them are in the game making money illegally. But you have to look at your trail. I've been in prison since 1991. I'm 57 now. The first sentence I did was in 1991 in California. I don't know if it's my age or just the penny drop, but whatever it is, it's about employment. I think it's this proven statistics that inmates that get jobs, somehow their life falls back in track. You know, I've done it before. I've come out of prison and I was a graphic designer for nearly 2 years and I didn't commit crime. You know, it was my mistake that I started making them, and I won't make those mistakes again. You know, you might not be making $100,000 a year, but you're making a legal wage. You'll keep most of it.
Did having a job make it easier to adjust to life outside prison?
It gave me a confidence that was, it was even arrogant. I'd probably have to say overconfident. Because all my friends were in London. You're not going to go to Peterborough. You're not going to move to Peterborough for this company. And when I moved, their jaws were on the ground like, oh, my friend FaceTimed yesterday. I was in bed at 7:15 in the evening because I want to get enough sleep for work. And he's like, what's happened to you? You know, and what's happened to me is I just have self-respect again and I have goals. You know, I'd like to open my own little business in the next 2-3 years. You know, just a little LA style taco and burgers. But it all starts with going to work every day. And it's just, I will not be without a job. I will not leave, go to that job. I'll keep this job while I'm trying to open that place. It's about work. It's about vocation. You have to have a vocation. You have to go to work.
When you started to work here, was that, were you nervous at all about doing that?
Yeah, because I wasn't skilled at all. I'm not saying I'm skilled now, but they have given me skills. My boss would get angry by saying I'm not skilled now. I'm lucky I have a really good team leader. He's from Brazil. His name is Jaciel. He will explain things, and he's had to explain some of the same things for me 10 or 20 times over because I'm older and I forget things. And when you sit back, you think, look at all this. I didn't know I can use this tool and recip saw and track saw and impactors and drills. And one thing Frank told me, and it's always stuck with me, is like, just because you made a mistake once doesn't mean you have to make it again.
Does having a job make it easier to be in prison?
Yes. For one thing, your risk level has become lower. We travel from the prison 1 hour and 15 minutes every day. The prison have given us a brand new Ford Transit van that seats 9 of us. You pay £30 a week for the gas. Unless you're driving, then you don't pay if you're one of the allocated drivers. We get to stop at services in the morning, buy our food and goodies. And at night, we can stop at services, buy our dinner. And we're out of the prison 14 hours a day. I go back to shower, make my dinner, go back to bed. I'm up at 4:30 in the morning in prison to be out of here by 5:15, to be here by 6:30 in the morning. You feel normal. It gives you a sense of normality and it shows you this is reality. If you do the right things happen. That's an AA phrasing. I hate to quote it, but.
The prisoners drive themselves to work.
Yeah.
And they drive themselves back.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't have guards?
No, none at all. The prison will send sometimes once, maybe in every 5 months, someone to come check to see what's going on. But no one wants to lose what they've got. So everybody is going by all prison rules. People aren't making infractions because they don't want to lose this. Because you get caught doing something illegal, a smartphone or something, you're going back to closed conditions where you started. You know, you only come out for an hour a day, maybe. 23 hours bang up. That is where you're going back to. So you lose a lot. So you really have to consider what you're going to throw away.
Next up is Scott. He's still at North Sea Camp. When we spoke, he was due to be released in 6 weeks. And he's taken up the offer of a permanent job with Dragonheart after.
Did you do this sort of work before?
No, previously I'd worked for shop fitting companies. I was a CAD technician and programmed CNC machines. Dissecting drawings and getting them programmed up for the CNC. So this is all new to me. Good learning curve, something new and different. So it's good.
How did you hear about the job here and what made you decide to take it?
I heard it through the prison that I'm actually in at the moment, which is North Sea Camp. So they do outdoor work. They advertise the jobs. And then I apply for it and get interviewed by Dragonheart themselves.
And did it seem like a more interesting sort of job than was on?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got various jobs that are offered to you, like picking fruit, packing fruit. That's the majority of them. And this is more down the road that I wanted to look at. So this is the one that I went for and got the interview and luckily got the job.
When you started, were you nervous at all about what it would be like and how did that go?
No. I was more excited that I was getting out of the position I was in prison and I was able to come to work. It was more excitement rather than anxious or anything like that. you're welcomed here, so it's good to come out and do some work.
What's it like going out to work and then going back to prison?
It's like a normal day, really, isn't it? It's the same. It is the same as a normal day. You come to work. The only difference is I go back to prison, whereas normally you go back home. I'd rather be doing it this way than any other way, to be honest.
I think you said it's a Category D prison.
It's a Cat D prison, yes. So there's houses just outside of the prison, and I live in the houses. It's like a shared house system. Got all the facilities we need. So go back, cook your food, eat, shower, sleep, and up at 4:30 the next day to come back.
Does having a job like this make it easier to be in prison?
Absolutely, yes.
Why?
Why? Because it's a little snippet of real life, isn't it? So you're not always in prison. So I'm out of prison more than I am in it. So because I'm working. So I'm up at 4:30, we leave at 5:00. We start work at 7:00 and we get back at 7:00 at night. So once you've done your day, you've spent all day out, and that's Monday to Thursday with optional Friday. So you're spending most of your time at work anyway, so it's better for me, more beneficial.
You must be knackered when you get back.
Absolutely. When Thursday comes, it's you've done a week's work. It's tiring, but it's worth it.
Do most of your fellow prisoners, do they like the idea of going out?
I think there's 300 people at the prison, and obviously there's not 300 jobs, so everybody wants a job. Unfortunately, there's not enough to go around. That's what a lot of people are waiting for.
You like this job. What about it do you find interesting?
It's new skills. So I've learned a lot of new skills. I'm erecting the steels to make the houses that we're building. I hadn't done anything like that before. So it's a new set of skills that I've learned. And every other week, they're asking me to do something different. So I've done roofing, building the balconies. We learned to wrap the units. I've passed all my forklifting combi license and reach forklift so we can help move all the units out. So there's a lot of skills that have been provided, working at heights, slinging.
That's something you can take on to?
I can take, well, I'm looking at coming back here on release. So I've got 6 weeks left. I've spoke to them and they've offered me permanent work, which is good. So the process works.
Has doing this job changed your outlook on life in any way?
It's made me want to own my own property, to be honest. I've never owned my own property, so just being around and building houses and things like that, it's made me thrive to actually want to own my own.
And what would be your advice to other prisoners who might have the opportunity to have a job?
Grab it with both hands, absolutely. It's... you're giving back, you're out of prison, you're learning new skills, and it helps you towards your future. Absolutely. Definitely take it.
And do you think having a job will make it easier to adjust to life outside prison?
Yeah, this is why I've spoke to Dragonheart and asked them if I could have work after release. It's cut out a big battle. So once you release, you have to try and find a job. You have to tell them that you've been in prison. It can be difficult to find work, but because that's already been done, then it's a big bonus.
You're being released in 6 weeks.
Yes.
And you're going to come back to work here after you sort different things out.
Yeah.
What is that looking like?
Because I've had the opportunity to be in work with for 2 years, I've managed to save £15,000 whilst being in prison for 2 years. So that is a massive bonus and a plus for me. So for me, having the chance to have that money to be able to set myself up when I get out, car, house, anything else I need, it's a massive benefit. Got a little daughter that needs a lot of money, and this is providing it at the moment.
Seeing how keen Pete and Scott were, I wanted to speak to the guy who keeps the show in the road, Jason Bassett, MCIOB, director at Dragonheart.
Maybe if you could give us an idea of how long you've been doing this, how many people you've brought through the program. Give us an idea of the background.
Okay, so we've been doing it for almost 3 years now. And the real principle was about getting more reliable staff, and working with the prison really helped out with us. So we've had 41 people over the duration of the period that have gone through the program and graduated. So we train them and give them NVQ qualifications, which means they can work on any construction site in the country. So it's a really powerful bit of training that we give them. And in conjunction with the prison, what we did initially, they would just come to us and we were given the training program here. But we've set up a skills center in the prison now. And in one of the industrial units, they'll build a mini one of our homes. And they have a little 6-week taster course of construction. And they build the home, put the steel frame together, put some windows in, put the walls up, and then take it apart at the end, which is really beneficial for us because when they come to work for us now, they're much faster up to speed. So originally it used to take us about 6 weeks to get them up to speed. Now they're really up and running within 2 weeks with us. So the 41 people that have gone through the program, we have a reoffending rate of less than 1% against a national average of more than 50%. And in terms of employment post-release, when they've gone through the program, after 6 months, 85% of them have got full-time employment against a national average of 38%. So, you know, it really feels like it's a powerful, changing lives kind of program.
Why do you do it?
The principle and the social setup of our business was about how can we help as many people as we can. So everything we build is zero carbon, affordable quality homes. We only build them for the people who are normally in temporary accommodation or homeless people. So the real principle was about how do we embrace the housing need in the market, but the people who are the furthest away from being in property. So that was really our initial vision. And then the natural progression to that was, if I can help people at that end of the market, how do I change lives earlier on in the journey? And that's when I got involved with the prison service and the Prisoners Building Homes program. So it feels like it's a real win-win for us as a business. And commercially, it sounds quite weird. Very powerful when you go to your clients and say, this is what we do from a social value point of view. And it's not just a piece of paper and an ESG tick box. The MOJ monitor our performance. And for every £1 spent in the program with us, demonstrates £8.50 of social value back into society. And that's a combination of them obviously paying their taxes and being employed, not being in prison, but also the real benefit is obviously less victims.
Just sort of logistically, what do you have to do to bring these people into the business and train them and orient them and that sort of thing? Do you need your own sort of training? Do you have to supervise them in any sort of special way?
There's no specialist process. There's an amazing support mechanism with the local prisons, and every prison has a department called Employment Advisory Boards, and I'm the chair of the one at North Sea Camp, so as part of my voluntary social work, I do that. They'll come out and do all the risk assessments and make sure that all the processes are in place to make sure that the general public is safeguarded, because obviously they are currently prisoners. They arrange the transport for you, they do the vetting for you, and they make sure that they filter and make sure the people put in front of you when you interview them are, in their view, good enough to be talking to you. And we find that process initially, obviously, when you first deal with it, until you start to learn each other's ways and what our needs are and showing that to them. You know, our success rate was about 50% of the people when I interviewed were good enough to come and work for us. I did interviews 3 weeks ago, interviewed 5 people, and I only needed 2, but I could have taken all 5. And the great thing is that they're just looking for the opportunity. So their attitude is really strong. I don't care what their history is. I don't care what their skill set is. I can teach them how to do the construction work. What I can't teach is the attitude. And that's the real power of the program from our point of view.
I think you said that there was a network of other construction companies who are plugged into this as well. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. So it's a national program. There's 9 national house builders that are working in the program, all geographically spread across the country. So we've got some in Hull, some in Wales, some in Liverpool. So for instance, Lee, who left us 6-8 weeks ago, went for our program, got her NVQ. His family are based in Liverpool. So I spoke to my opposite number, a company called Starship, phoned him up and said, look, he's about to be released back into your area, and managed to get him a job with them. So that he had the continuation, but kept his job, now back with his family.
How does it play out in the workforce? Like, do they all get along and mix together?
In the early days, I think it's probably, if you put a ratio on, 25% were absolutely pro it, 25% were a bit dubious about it, 50% were completely neutral. And as time's gone on, that 50% has sort of moved over to the 25 completely pro of it. And I think I'm probably 60, 30, 10 now. And, you know, that's not 10 that were anti it, they're just very neutral to it.
And from a business perspective, does it affect the cost of labour in any sort of way?
No, so we're very clear from our point of view. They're doing the same job as the guy beside them, so they earn the same money. They get paid the living wage. Obviously, they can't take that salary today, so that sits in a trust fund for them. A percentage of their salary goes to victim support, and then on release of their sentence, all of that money gets released back to them. And what you'll find is, as you talk to people, the biggest number of problems they have on release of prison is they can't find accommodation, they can't find a job, and they have no money. So this really does help in many ways because they've got a nest egg of money. It varies. Most people work for us about a year. That gives them typically £8,000 to £10,000 on release from prison as a cash sum. That allows them to rent places in the private sector. So it ticks the box, they can get into accommodation, and they've qualified to work in the construction industry. So they can have a job, they can get accommodation, and they've got some money. And the results are 85% of them don't reoffend. So, you know, open the door, give them the opportunity, that they walk through that door and they take the opportunity, which is amazing for everybody in society.
That's fantastic, very inspiring.
I like to say it's really good for the soul of the business.
If you're thinking this is a no-brainer, you're not alone. Dan Price is the Police and Crime Commissioner for Cheshire, and he wants to get the Prisoners Building Homes programme up and running there. In March, he convened a public meeting for local authorities, landowners, construction firms, and developers to get it off the ground. Councils have started coming forward with parcels of land. He wants to expand the programme to include those on probation. I caught up with him on Zoom to learn why.
If we're serious, we've got to start applying what we've done in prisons to the probation service, because we've got more and more people going there and never touching a prison. But the simple truth is, once they've got their criminal record, their chances of employment significantly falls. And so with that, the chance of reoffending significantly increases. If we are going to go into this space, we need to start talking more about people who are being managed by probation, having maybe even done time inside, but also talking about people who've never gone to prison and are being managed by probation. 50% of the people who are in the criminal justice system are in the hands of probation, not in prisons. So you're never going to fix a problem if we're only looking at half of the people who are associated with it.
And how's it going so far?
So we've asked the councils to submit their areas that they consider land that would be useful. Cheshire West and Halton have done that. Warrington and Cheshire East are still to do that, but we've got calls this week talking precisely about those. And ultimately, our aim is to bring those parcels of land to delivery with a developer and a housing provider. And I have no doubt that we will probably end up with things being built in Cheshire West and Chester first, just because of the scale and pace of which they're moving. But my hope is that we can start to see some results. I set the ambitious plan. What if we built a home by Christmas? Wouldn't that be a remarkable achievement? You know, now, God, that's a challenge. But the truth is, if we are going to even do something the following year, we've got to have really ambitious targets in this space, because you will know construction is an easy area to have delays when it comes to delivering plans. So it's definitely motivated people to say, God, we should seize this opportunity. And yeah, I'm looking forward to having all of those sites across the whole of the county locked in soon.
One thing I was really impressed with by Dragonheart Homes is that the owner and the top leadership are deeply committed to doing this. And they even express it as one of the reasons for the company to be there. Clearly, employers, construction companies, are going to be crucial to this. And what has been their response?
All those that came to the event were interested. And we've had firms who've reached out to us since and said, we didn't know this was happening and we'd like to be involved. So I can't honestly say we've had any examples of anybody in the sector saying we're not interested. There is an appetite from industry to look at people in this country who are looking for an opportunity and just want to learn a skill and to become a reliable, trusted member of their team. And the truth is, the data shows us that that's what people become. You know, there are some people who are not deemed work ready because they might have chaotic lives. They might have, you know, but where things are aligned and you are clearly somebody who is able to hold down a job because you haven't still got maybe a substance abuse issue, etc. These people go on to become some of the most trusted, reliable members of a workforce. And that's not just like me saying that. There is so much evidence that shows that. And I will say this as well. This is one important factor why we're keen to do it. If we go to an open prison or the probation service, and you have a conversation with somebody who's had a history of offending, and you say, you know, what sort of job do you want to work in? I'd say one in three say they want to go into construction. You know, like maybe even more. And that shows you that there's already an appetite to go into construction and all lots of different skills. And sometimes you can see that they're trying to persuade, you know, the officials in the form of employment advisors, etc., trying to persuade them, well, have you thought about maybe working in this sector? Have you thought about, let's meet them where they are, right? And if we've got an industry that needs workers, let's try and get these people into that sector. And that's where I think we are with construction. So that's why I'm so pleased that we're able to try and do something in this county.
How many prisoners and people on probation are in your jurisdiction?
So we've got 3,500 people in Cheshire who are managed by the probation service. So it's a lot, you know, and, you know, the sad reality is many of those will not be considered work ready. Many will be on a sort of roundabout of going in and out of the criminal justice system. And therein lies one of the challenges. But the moment we have got an opportunity to get those individuals into employment, we have to throw everything at helping make that happen, because the cost that that individual who is offending and continuing to reoffend is huge. You know, an average prison cost per year is £50,000. So the idea that the moment that they say, I want to change my life, I want to do something, I want to, you know, support my family, or I want to, you know, whatever their motivation is, we have got to grab that wholeheartedly and try and get them into employment. Because 3,500 people, well, that costs the public purse a lot of money.
If you're in Cheshire and want to know more, Dan wants to hear from you. Search for Cheshire Police and Crime Commissioner or visit cheshire-pcc.gov.uk. And that's it. Thanks for listening.